Well, today, Mayor Lucas is also calling on Kansas Cityans to be better as a whole. He's doing this by highlighting two incidents. The first being this Photoshop picture of him at a local radio station with a T-shirt. Now, the real one is on the left, and it simply says The Buzz. It was Photoshopped to say something offensive. The second incident highlights offensive messages sent directly to the mayor, and the words are racist and they are harsh.
If we're talking about things, whether it be social media comments or violent crime or any of these other things, you know, my idea is just let's go back to having respect, right? Let's go back to having respect for people, for others, for our differences, right? Understanding that, you know, everybody's just trying to do their best each day. I will say this, it takes you back, right? Somebody talks about you hanging from a tree or something, that's, you know, that's something you never really get used to just letting, you know, roll off your shoulder.
Well, here we are. Happy Tuesday. This is new for us. My name is Hartzell Pete, across the line, Tracy Morning Show. And, you know, we don't usually do shows on Tuesdays. And if we do, it's because something happened, something rather important. And Pete, actually, why don't you tee us up? Because you're the one who sent me this initial tweet.
Yeah, I'm really upset with this lovely guy or gal who is making me do this show on a Tuesday. I've committed to Monday, Wednesday, Friday only. But yes. This picture came through yesterday morning. I started seeing it on the internet. It was actually Mayor Q who put out the photo himself. It was a photo of you, Hartzell, and Mayor Q from a while back holding up what looked to be 96.5 The Buzz t-shirts, probably at an interview from a while back. And what was doctored over the photos was F the police in the word, so we don't have to bleep it out. You know what that is. And then Black Lives Matter for the shirt you were holding. And this was out there. It was being circulated throughout Kansas City. And as you could imagine, people who thought the photo was real were rather upset about this, and it was going kind of viral. Our mayor has his cell phone number out there because he wants to have people in the city to have a direct line to him. And he was getting some really, really horrific racist text messages and comments, and I texted you right away.
I mean, you broke the news for me, man. I had no idea. In fact, we had just wrapped up the show, and I had no idea what you were talking about. You said, have you seen this photo with you and Q? What the is going on here? And, you know, it took off. One of the things that Pete and I love about this show, one of the reasons why we do this show, is because we love having these kind of conversations, a new perspective, a different perspective on real issues that matter in Kansas City. Now, usually we like to talk about those in the context of analyzing the news, not necessarily being a part of it.
Right.
So this was weird to me. And, you know, I got the phone call from, you know, Mayor Q's comm director. You know, unfortunately, she said, I hate to tell you this, but now you're a part of the story. And that was kind of terrifying because there's a few different layers to this. And we talk about all of this with Mayor Q here in just a bit. You know, we had identity forgery, misinformation. And on top of that, because of that, we got into a racist, heated mudslinging, slur slinging.
Right.
And that doesn't get anything done. That accomplishes nothing. So we wanted to do a special program today, kind of just, you know, getting out some feelings, to be honest with you.
Right.
And we wanted to talk to Mayor Q. I want to do this face-to-face, the most you can do face-to-face on a podcast, so we can explain what we're trying to do and maybe change the narrative. And so that's what I hope you can get from this program, this special episode of your KC Morning Show. Myself and Mayor Q, what began as a discussion of what happened becomes a round table of what we can do in Kansas City. And I hope you enjoy it. I hope you get something out of it. And Pete, I just want to say thanks, man. Thanks for letting me have this chance to do this. Because me and Mayor Q went about 30 minutes, man. And I think it's awesome. And with that, on your KC Morning Show, Mayor Q. Hello, hello.
Hey, how you doing, sir?
Oh, my goodness, Mr. Mayor. Quentin Lucas, back on your KC Morning Show. I wish it was under better circumstances, but we're going to make it right. Mr. Mayor, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. Just wild times in Middle America. Just,
oh,
you know.
Boy. So let's talk about what happened. So I wake up from a text from a buddy of a doctored photo. Can you explain how you came to see this image?
Well, you know, so yesterday I I was kind of just doing my usual thing, getting started way too early in the morning. And I am used to a decent number of text message haters. And this guy sent me this thing, and it was just, you know, it was real kind of aggressive. And he's like, tell me this isn't true. And I'm like, I don't know what you're even talking about. You know, and he basically just sent the picture that we have seen. It had me and you, our wonderful, beautiful, smiling faces.
Oh, we look so good.
We did. We look good. And one of the pictures says, they have us holding up shirts. One says F the police. The other one says Black Lives Matter. And then, you know, I was like, all right, you're a fool doing whatever, you know. But then I start getting more messages through the day. Like, is this true? And then some police officers reach out to me and they're like, everybody's circulating this and they think it's all true. And I'm like, that is just the biggest load of bull of all time. And, you know, and then like people are still texting back and they're like, well, I looked for it on your timeline of the undoctored version, so this means that the doctored version must be true. And I'm like, that's about the dumbest damn thing I've ever heard in my life. So anyway, I eventually find our picture. I guess I'm glad I found it. Saw us wearing, as one might predict, two 96.5 or holding up 96.5 of the Buzz shirts, like one saying the Buzz family and something else, which would make a lot of sense because we were at a freaking radio station.
With the picture of the station still in the background, by the way.
Right. And, you know, that one probably, there's a bunch of interesting stuff going on, but that one got me kind of hot because it's like people, and I'll just say this, right? Two black men just actually doing their jobs, right? Doing their jobs in largely majority white environments. And, right, we're holding up T-shirts for your radio station. I think it was a picture from when I was campaigning for mayor.
I remember for a fact, this was about, oh my gosh, this would have been February or March of the campaign trail. So you're not even mayor yet. I mean, it's June, damn near July, and I had a cardigan on the picture. Who wears a cardigan in the middle of summer? I mean, just think about this thing, people.
Right.
Come on.
And, you know, and so it just tells me, I'm like, what's wrong with people? You know, like, why are you trying to tarnish this and turn it into something that's different, right? The mix of the F the police with the Black Lives Matter thing, which suggests, I guess, in their view, that if you're black people and you believe that Black Lives Matter, then you also, you know, hate the police. And it's just this narrative where they're trying to tear down everything, right? Trying to make everybody feel like we got to be in more fights than we even need to be. And it was, you know, it was frustrating. It's disappointing. And I don't know why in the heck it needed to happen.
Well, and that's why I wanted to have this conversation with you because, you know, like we're saying, this was such a layered, weird thing because you have one thing at a doctored photo and identity theft and, you know, misinformation, which is so prevalent now. I mean, I'm assuming that this thing was launched initially on Facebook. I don't know that for a fact because I couldn't find the original post either. But if I had to guess, it was probably something like that. So you have that as your first piece, misinformation. And then you also have a number two aspect to this. You got dog whistling and race baiting. And it's like you said, you know, I believe the Black Lives Matter. You believe the Black Lives Matter, you know, but they have decided to use that as a tool to ignite a group of folks who just want to find ways to invalidate this movement that we're making. We are trying to, and I know you've done your part and you're still doing your part to make this moment of movement. And I guess that's just the part that I can't seem to grasp in my brain. You know, like, why was this someone's first thing? Like, someone took time to do this knowing that it was going to spur a reaction of folks that could be, you know, violent towards you and I or towards anyone who believes that Black lives matter or persons of color's lives matter.
Right. And you know, and the thing that gets me, it's like, why is it even necessary? Like, what point are you trying to get across, right? It's this idea that you have to build enemies. And in some ways, as I see it, and particularly because you had nothing to do with it, it's trying to, like, make every black man an enemy, right? It's trying to do this weird thing of, yeah, you know, Hartzell Gray is part of this weird, you know, anti-police, anti-world thing, you know, and trying to make me part of it. And the only reason that it becomes a thing is because, you know, I don't know if you feel like you're losing an argument or something like that, but it's just, you know, it's in some ways descriptive of our times, you know? And I think that's kind of a problematic thing with it, right? That, like, you know, I know I'm not going to go all Rodney King and can't we all just get along? But it's like, people don't be fools, right? Let's see where we disagree. Let's have conversations about them. Let's talk about what we think the future of policing is, or race relations, or anything like that. What you don't have to do is just say, basically, that person is so awful. They stand so aggressively and stridently on another side. I need to hate them. And that's frankly what things like that perpetuate, right? If you're, if you're a bunch of police officers that are circulating such a thing, or you're somebody who's circulating that to police officers, right? You're trying to rile up other people to be like, yeah, see, that's the enemy. That's who we're fighting. And there's no reason to do that.
Well, I'll say this, because knowing you, and I think you know me as well. We want to take this opportunity to have a bigger conversation. You know, if that doctored photo of us, if someone just puts it, you know, if someone puts on those shirts a picture of, I don't know, Bill Murray, you know, maybe we're having to laugh about this and it's a whole different conversation. But because they did what they did, whoever it is, whoever it was, now we got to open this up to a race conversation, because obviously it happened because someone knew it was going to play for a certain demographic. So let's open this up, Mr. Mayor, if you don't mind. You know, we are going through a movement, you know, from George Floyd to Breonna Taylor, insert name here. How are we doing? What is, I guess, what's the state of race relations in Kansas City?
It's not good. I mean, I'm being too honest a lot lately. You know, and I recognize, look, I'm a black mayor. I'm a third one in this city. And I think we will spend a lot of time kind of looking at things like that. Like, yeah, we have this or we have that. But, you know, people need to be willing to be challenged and not have to withdraw into camps immediately. Not have to just throw out their fire at the beginning of every step. And I think we still are at a point where we're having trouble with that. We're still at a point where everybody's just super defensive. Some more than others. And so things that don't need to become, you know, what they ultimately are, you know, do. So, you know, so you get these people that are saying, well, you hate, you know, I don't know, the police. And it's like, well, when did we say that? And they said, well, you talk to protesters. I'm like, all right, yeah, what's wrong with that? Right? Well, you know, and I'm like, no, really, what's wrong with that? What's your issue with what they said? And I think we still have a problem in our city and in our country in getting beyond that. If you look at national politics, right? I mean, I don't want to get into masks yet, but, you know, this is like the frickin' Civil War. And it's about masks. Really? Okay. You know? And we see that, you know, personified, exemplified through race. Because everybody understands race to some extent. They don't get our differences, but they get somebody's black, somebody's white. Everybody thinks they're not racist, and everybody just thinks all these things. And I'm kind of like, you know, why don't we try to transcend what we think we know and try to learn something beyond that? I have to do that every day in this job, right? I'm trying to understand different groups, many of which I don't get at all. And I wish that people would take a step back and say more often, you know, that's what we're working on.
Well, you mentioned it. We've had three black mayors, you know. And I know you are someone who, you know, you will say the buck stops with you. But I'm curious if, you know, during all the, you know, we've had so many retrospectives since Obama. And I think a lot of folks, some of the criticism from Obama was that he didn't use his black experience in his office. That was some of the critiques for him. So how do you try to use what you've learned, your actual upbringing, and how do you try to use that to make substantive change when you know there are different barriers of entry to making real change? For example, you know, we don't have local control of the police yet. I know you support it, and I know that's the step of something bigger, but it's not the end all be all. So so how is it that you bring your life experiences to the office so that it makes change and people understand that?
You know, I try to share sometimes, and I think what I try to share isn't just background. We can go back, and Hartzell did some outstanding interviews of me when I was running about, you know, where I'm from and all that sort of stuff and what I came from.
Know your plan.
but I think somewhat more interesting is what we all deal with today, right? It's people walking, you know, 2 miles in somebody else's shoes. That's where I think I can share and make some level of difference and let people know that, yeah, despite all these things, right? I've got more wind at my back than almost any brother in this city, maybe in the history of this city, right? Great schools for me, all that sort of stuff. Yet there are still things, right? Yet I wake up and I see a doctored photo of myself doing, you know, something like that. And to your point from before, yeah, there are doctored photos all the time, right? And there are people like, oh, this isn't a big deal. Nah, but it is, right? Because a Bill Murray doctored photo is different than Quentin and Hartzell, right? Two brothers, right? That they're trying to basically turn into militants. How they're trying to make a movement that isn't naturally militant seem like something very different, right? There are lots of people that were saying, okay, yeah, we're understanding there's a need for change reassessment in our society. And so, you know, I feel like I have a place to share that. That's why I shared both the doctored photo and also an incredibly racist text message I received, which is not the only one. And, you know, and it's just kind of like, you know, I'll keep sharing that so people can see like, oh, wow, okay, there is more to this than I might have thought.
Well, first off, are you safe? I mean, I know for a fact you've had a rough weekend. You had a very tough weekend. And again, there's certain things I just can't seem to process. You know, this is something that you're instituting, this mask policy, as a way to protect your fellow citizen. You know, the 4th of July is coming up, and I see a lot of backlash from a lot of wannabe patriots. And I can't help but wonder how we got here. How did the discord devolve into where it is now?
I think that, and I'm trying not to go too big time politics or anything like that. It got way too acceptable. Decency and respect are something that we've moved away from in some ways. So we've become more vulgar. We've become more like kind of ridiculous. You see people get away with tweeting crazy things at every level of our country. And it just becomes a thing that, all right, well, I can do this. I can do that. Right. And so, yeah, step one was just cracking some jokes, you know, and I feel like maybe 10, 15 years ago, people would be like, yeah, you probably shouldn't crack that joke. But then there was the backlash, right, that said political correctness. Oh, to hell with it. Right. Mm-hmm. Why do I need to make women feel comfortable in a conversation? We're just a bunch of guys. Right. And then you see then the next step, right, of that pushback, and then it just keeps going. And so we have allowed and condoned this kind of racial, sexual, sexist vitriol that we got to get out of. We've got to get out of as a community. We've got to get out of in so many other ways. And I think that, you know, people think that it's taking something from them, but it's not. You know, me, I'll say me personally, I have growth to make. You know, me recognizing what things I say or do can mean to different people, what they can mean to whole groups of people that I don't understand. And folk, for some reason, just decided, I ain't got to worry about that.
Well, I think, too, and maybe this is just me, I'm spitballing here, and that's why I love that we're doing this right now. I think some of it as well, Mr. Mayor, is how we address certain issues. For example, when it seems to me, and this is both nationally and locally, whenever we talk about gun violence in this city, this state, this country, it always seems as a dog whistle, as a weird, we don't want to talk about this. It seems like it's a dog whistle for black folks. For some reason, we seem to equate gun violence as a black issue. Or, you know, we know for a fact, you know, you deal with the tenants' Bill of Rights. Okay, we know for a fact that, you know, black folks are disproportionately homeless, or we don't have access to certain things. But those things are not mutually, those things don't have to be just black issues. And I feel like, and maybe you can jump in on this, I feel like part of our discord, you know, we want to lower the murder rate in Kansas City. But because of what we have been innately told by the media or politicians or otherwise, we think that's a black issue. And now when you have some of these crazies online who now use the gun statistic, the murder rate, as a way to belittle black folks and this moment that is a movement. Am I overthinking this, or are we on kind of the same page here?
No, I think I'm with you. I mean, it's trying to put people and arguments in their place, right? Yeah. So yeah. It is, because here's the latest thing, and God rest the soul of the young boy killed yesterday, right? And I saw that murder, and it's tragic and all of that, and then out of these people immediately sending me messages that were like, you know, well, where's the protest for him and all that? And I'm like, first of all, why are you using something so painful to try to make a political point that, first of all, is a silly point, right? But also that, you know, seems to say that we can't be actual humans. We can't walk and chew gum. You can believe that we need to change laws, society, all of that to make sure that nobody like that is ever hurt again. And frankly, I hope any human with a soul believes that and works towards that. Right. You can also believe that we want our institutions to be more accountable to the people, including Black people in our community. Those aren't in conflict. And indeed, they probably actually help each other. Right? Because once we build that trust, once we say, okay, yeah, everybody who's in this are working together, then we're actually getting somewhere. Whereas if we're all just yelling at each other, and if we're trying to basically, I think, undermine society's view of Black men, if we're trying to make everything about something it's not, then, yeah, I think we'll be in a much worse place.
Now, I got to ask you a question, and this is, I don't want to make this sound like it's a personal story, because, you know, so oftentimes when a Black person does tell their personal experience, it ends up being the sheep end up saying that we're making it about ourselves. But you do mention accountability, and I've got to say, there is a disconnect, Mr. Mira. I think there is. You know, as you saw and experienced those text messages, people calling you the N-word, people saying you need to hang from a tree, disgusting. You know, but there is a disconnect, because I will say this. On Friday, I was called the N-word multiple times, and I tried to file a police report. I tried to go about it the right way. I've listened to you. I've listened to Rick Smith, the chief, and I tried to go about it the right way. And I will tell you, it was not a positive experience. I called multiple departments, and some and the majority were like, Mr. Gray, this is appalling. This is both a threat and hate speech. Now, where I was located, those stations were not close to me. So I went to the station that was, and I repeated the same story. I told them exactly what happened. And the response I got, the first thing that was uttered from her mouth was, you know, I don't see a problem here. You know, I was threatened and called the N-word, but she didn't see a problem there, because in her, and this is what she said, her first example was, God knows that us cops, we get called all kinds of things. Now, that was her first reaction. This happened on Sunday. So as we do continue to try to bridge this gap of accountability, and also just, you know, making it so that Black folks feel comfortable to reach out, because I'll tell you right now, that was such a poor experience for me. I said, F it. And I just said that was it. I didn't go to any station, because I know this, you know, I was so worked up. And, you know, in that situation that I was calling for, if I retaliate physically to the person that was doing that, then I make the news and I'm going to jail. And I said this on our program Monday, you know, I hope I make it to jail. George didn't make it. So how do we bridge that gap? Because, you know, so many folks see on the news kumbaya, but on the streets still, we got a lot of work to do.
Yeah, that's, man, I'm just thinking about kind of the story itself. You know, it is a tough one, because I don't think anybody actually understands the anger and aggression that this can build in people, you know, how it can make people snap. I'll be absolutely honest. I got in a back and forth with a staffer of mine yesterday who I didn't think talked to me the way that they would probably address any number of other people, including like senior white men, maybe senior Black men too. And I told them, maybe even unrelated to the situation, I'm like, you know, you get this enough in a day. Right. And some of it's position, but some of it's just life and society. And you see services differently. You see your community differently. You see some of the heartbreak in a community. And it makes you want to either give up, not care, fix things in a different way, fight. Right. Yeah. You know, as a lot of people do, and the way a lot of people respond. Because there is something different for some in our society versus others. That female officer who told you that, you know, I think part of what they're shaking about now is that, yeah, usually society almost always immediately has their back. And in many ways we should, right? But And I think right now we're seeing an interesting time where there's all this gray questioning. But there are other people that walk around with that every day. Some of them are black officers, mind you. But others are just like black folks that are just kind of like, I guess I'm going to live with that. I guess I'm going to live with the different salary. I guess I'm just going to live with my view of how services are in my neighborhood. I'm going to live with the fact that the way we pay our employees, both in the public and private sector, is so different. And it gets people, man. And it makes it very hard to just, you know, wake up the next day, just be super patriotic and say, all right, well, everything's good. And I think that's what some of our current conversations are supposed to be about. But people are missing it.
Yeah. So what are we doing? I guess how do we fix, you know, I think the cop out is the bad apple excuse, but you know, it might be a really nasty tree. So what are we doing in Kansas City? You know, how are we starting that process to, you know, I'm not saying we got to defund the police, but how are we looking and trying to reevaluate where we are, how we got here, and where we go from here? Where do we go next?
I just want people like listening and talking and understanding that, you're going to be uncomfortable. Right now, nobody wants to be. I'm sure there will be people who are listening to this interview, and they're like, why doesn't Hartzell just be funny right now, right? Or Lucas.
I want the same thing. I want to do the same thing. Trust me.
Or Lucas, fix the damn potholes, right? You know, you're so busy talking about this, right? And instead, it's just like, no, we ain't going to do the easy thing. Not that fixing potholes is easy. instead, right, what we need to do is just say, all right, how can I grow and how can I change? You know, government will do its thing. We'll figure it out or we won't. But probably more to the point is, how do people do it? How does your institution do it? How do you actually ask yourself, where did I make somebody uncomfortable? Right. And it isn't just and sometimes my white brothers and sisters feel this incredible, like, you know, like almost defensiveness. Right. Why am I? I'm, you know, no. I don't care. Don't be defensive. Right. I feel the same challenge, too. How did I undermine Hartzell? Right. Maybe the things that I've done, you know, I mean, this is the sort of thing that people need to spend more time thinking about processing. And that's the real way I think we get change.
Now, what do you say to the folks who will respond to that and say, you know, I'm tired of making it a personal responsibility? You know, for some people that might be received as pushing the buck. You know, some people would say that this should be coming from institutions. Like, why is it still on me? You know, why is it still on this black man, this black woman, this black trans woman to have to try to tell the rest of the world that we matter when it should be coming from the top? No, because I'm sure you've heard that counterpoint. What do you respond and say to that?
You know what? I'm just believe and I know that it's interesting, and we think about the way systems work. All I'm just going to say is, look, we can fix our own little place of the world every day, and people have to be more devoted and dedicated to that. And that's where I see things coming and changing. You know, I'm not one who's going to, and you're right, I do like to say the buck stops here on a lot of things. Sometimes that requires me to talk about people in my organization, but nevertheless, yeah, people should be mad when they're like, Quentin Lucas, what the hell are you doing? Right? And my view is we need to do more of that introspection. Now, I know it sounds weird, but it's your self-evaluation. Right? If somebody, I mean, and it's like, it's something we already do in the world. If people aren't coming into your business for a while, you think about, wow, what am I doing wrong? You're not just like, well, to hell with all of them, right? If people aren't listening to what you're putting on the radio, right, you're not just like, oh, well, you know, they just must be so stupid. Instead, you try to listen. You try to adapt. You try to moderate. That's what more people need to do. If you're saying a bunch of things and everybody has a negative interaction, you know, and then maybe you should think about it. Or if you're even like have this sense that something you might be saying or thinking or doing or perpetuating maybe makes somebody uncomfortable, and maybe reevaluate why you're doing it.
Mayor Quentin Lucas, he's your mayor of Kansas City. I have, I guess, one last thing for you, and I'm going to put you on the spot. I want to give you the rest of the floor. You know, because you had a rough weekend for a policy, and we're talking about the mask order, for a policy that, you know, studies and folks would say is a public good. So I'm going to give you the floor and explain why that is a thing so that you don't have to, or at least the thought is that you don't have to receive some of these text messages anymore. So if you wouldn't mind, Mr. Mayor, I'm going to give you the floor. The floor is yours.
Well, I'm going to just say this. First of all, I'm glad that Governor Laura Kelly has taken the flak for an entire state of Kansas now.
Oh, yeah.
So at least we're seeing that lots of our listening area is going to be under these orders, as is Jackson County on the Missouri side. My goal in everything that I do is to try to make our community as safe as possible for people. And, you know, on the mask thing, I know there are a lot of people who see it a different way, think it's intrusive and all of that. Look, we're trying to step one, save lives. Step two, make sure we can keep things open. Today in Arizona ain't some hippie liberal state. Right? Today in Arizona, the governor is issuing these orders that are closing bars again, closing down so much of the economy. Right? That's wild. I don't want us to get to that point. So looking at our best medical evidence, right, we were able to say that this is something that can allow us to keep our economy open, to keep people safe, to avoid further infections from COVID-19. And that's important for us. And we make these choices not for acclaim or accolades. And people are always like, you're just following the other people and all that. There are no acclaim and accolades. A whole bunch of other people are doing it, right? This isn't unique. This is just right. And they're like, well, you're wrong, or, you know, all of this. But I'll just tell you this, right? Every time, you know, I've had a doctor recommend a course of action for me, what I don't say is, well, to hell with you. I'm going to just see how it works out, right? Yeah. I'll take my medication. I do the thing that's advised. And maybe I didn't need it. Maybe I did. But you know what? I'm still standing here today. And that's what I think we're trying to do now, that we're just trying to say, you know what, folks, it isn't that much of an interruption in your daily lives. Wear it into the grocery store, right, and take it off when you get out, right? Wear it somewhere else. In Kansas City, Missouri, we're not requiring you to wear it when you're outside. I mean, this is the sort of thing that's a minimum, right, obstacle in what you are doing each day, but it can save so many others.
It takes a village. It takes a village. That's my MO on that. Mayor Quentin Lucas, we asked you this, the final question, I think, about every interview we've done. Is it still a good day to be a Kansas Cityan?
It's always a beautiful day to be a Kansas City, and it's a tough time to be a human, generally, but I wouldn't want to do it anywhere else.
We wanted to turn something into something positive. I don't know what that was we got yesterday, because I still can't process it. But I hope that this was the thing that we can grow from, we can learn from, and we can move forward. Because at the end of the day, we only want to make this city the best in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate you, man. And interesting, challenging times, but we'll get through it on the other side and be stronger.
Hey, I know we will. Kansas City, here we come. Mayor Quentin Lucas, we'll chat soon, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's Mayor Quentin Lucas on your KC Morning Show. My name is Hartzell. Pete, your thoughts, my friend?
Yeah, it was a good job by you, and I really thought
Thanks,
Q
man.
To keep Appreciate your it. Composure throughout this, because I think the response could easily be just pure anger, but what I think you guys are doing is looking and saying, well, not only, okay, this happened, but why did this happen? And how can we maybe take steps to make sure that it doesn't? And I think that's why the city is blessed with Q, because I mean, his cell phone is out there. He's not running from the problem. And one of my favorite parts is you can hear in his voice, and he's really trying to find some equal ground between everybody. He's trying to understand different perspectives and trying to find a way where the city can meet in the middle and you could unite as one. And as you were saying, you could take steps to make this the best city in the world. And that's the part of politics that I've never loved is it is in its foundation. It's not a part of, I'd say, the world where people are ever going to completely agree. And so you got to figure out a way to still be productive, knowing that it's impossible to make everybody happy all the time. That's not the type of thing that I would willingly sign up for. And so for him to realize that and to continue to say some of the things that he said, where the city is going to take steps forward and he hopes for that, it was great to hear.
Well, listen, man, we just have, and this is state of politics, state of our world, we become so innately tribal, and it's just gross, you know. And as we become more and more tribalistic and we go to our camps, we're forgetting that, you know, there are certain lines in the sands that no, this is right, this is wrong. And it's just that cut and dry. You know, it is just, this is the right side of history or the wrong side of history. And we are having a bit of a reckoning with that right now. And because of those tribalistic tendencies that we have now, that we've now included in the culture, we're not even understanding the simple fact of what is right and wrong anymore. It now has to be, well, what is the spin from my team on what we think is right and wrong, so that not even the point is made. It's become a wrestling ring. And unfortunately, it's an Iron Man match that we're getting nothing out of. And it's just a damn shame because we got too much work to do. We talked about this in the interview, you know, the Tenet's Bill of Rights. We're talking about race relations. We're talking about local control, big real issues in Kansas City that need to be addressed. And do black folks, are we getting tired of it having to be a personal responsibility of us to educate white people? Yeah, we're getting tired of it, but we got to keep having the talk and we have to keep having those conversations, because if we're not going to get the institutional change, or if it's coming slower than we think, then we got to do what we can to accelerate it. And just stuff like this just puts us behind. It takes a step back. And if I can just, even on a personal level, man, yesterday sucked. I had to put my car in the garage. I had to delete my entire social media. My mom on the phone, terrified for something I didn't even know was posted.
Right.
You know, as I'm trying to move and worry about the stresses of life, and again, I'm not trying to make this about me, but this is a real thing that happens. As you do that mis- and disinformation campaign, know it has real life consequences to real people. And that's my piece.
Right. And
I'm trying to keep it composed, man, because I want to make this bigger than just me and Q and you, because this is an opportunity. So I'm going to take my anger and I'm going to go to work. I'm going to go back to work. And I know you're going to do the same thing.
Yeah, it's difficult for me to really say anything to you, except, you know, you have my support, and I hope that what we do and what we offer on even this program maybe starts bridging some of those gaps, because I think we are able to really have some of those tough conversations here. If this is your first time listening, I'm a little bit more so centered than Hartzell, and that's okay, because we're able to have those conversations. Like, you look at this situation, in my opinion, I think Q was right in saying, if you're a certain way or you're part of a certain party or you look a certain way, you're supposed to have to feel a certain way. And that's always been my problem with the party system on both sides. I think it's impossible for someone to have to feel a certain way based upon what's expected of them. And what I think it leads to on this program is, I mean, generally, I would say, Hartzell, right? 90% of the time, we're having a blast making fun of each other. We're laughing. We're presenting the news in a lighthearted way.
It's a lot of pro wrestling on this show. And I'm just going to give it away. I'm just going to say it's a lot of The Rock and Stone Cold, and that's fine. We know the audience.
But that's where we want to be. But we're not afraid to talk about the tough things. And I think that's so important, especially now in the year 2020, when there is just so much, both socially and in the world of health with the coronavirus. And I hope that you join us each and every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, because we have a lot more to come.
Let's go change the world, Pete. I know we can do it. We got this, man. My name's Hartzell Great, Pete Sweeney, across the line. This is your KC Morning Show, and we will see you in the morning.